Dear friends, it's Memorial Day weekend in the United States of America. What does that mean? It's a time to remember that we are alive, that we are free, and that we are saved. Three great blessings: alive, free, and saved. And why are those things true? Because others made the ultimate sacrifice. Think about what Jesus said there in John 15, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Let's think about our nation first of all. So approximately 1.4 million American soldiers have died while fighting in our major wars, and that's over the history of our entire nation. In a way, it's sad with every one of them who has died in battle, and yet at the same time, our numbers are small, very small, in comparison to other nations. God has given us many great victories, and he has protected our nation in many great ways over the years. When we think about each one of those people who have died in fighting, they entered the fight and they hoped to return home, but in the process of fighting, they died. They didn't plan on that, but they were willing to do it, and they did. Some even chose, they're in battle, and they chose to give their own life in order to protect their fellow soldiers. So now we're getting back to what Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. So that soldier giving his life for others is great, but there's one even greater, and that would be the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He put on human flesh. He lived in our place. He laid down his life when his work was done. He made the greatest sacrifice in order to make the one way to heaven. Let's summarize that a little bit. Since we are alive and free, what should we do? We should be greatly thanking the Almighty God. There are people around the world that are, yes, they are alive, but they are not free, and life is complete misery. Let us thank the Almighty God that we are alive and free, and let us thank those who fought for our freedom. And thinking especially about those who made the ultimate sacrifice in the process of that fighting. And then, for all who are saved, what should we do? We should greatly thank our Lord Jesus Christ, who made the greatest ultimate sacrifice. If we can only begin to think about the greatness of the Son of God in speaking the universe into existence, and yet he is the one who in time put on flesh and went to the cross to take away our sins. This is like so monumental. It is so overwhelming. Thank God he has opened us to know these important things and to trust in Jesus. And we should feel bad for those who don't know what we know, who don't believe what we believe. Let's take advantage of the opportunities we have that they might also know Jesus and be blessed for eternity. Well, that's a little bit on Memorial Day and such. I do want to go to our text now. And it's the one I read in the gospel reading. It's a short text. But let's see if we can find some great tidbits of information here that will not only give us a greater understanding about the text, but things that are relevant for us even today. We're in John chapter 5, picking up in verse 1. So the text begins by saying, after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So we have to look real quick here. What was going on in chapter 4? So that's when Jesus had the famous conversation with the Samaritan woman who was there at Jacob's well in Samaria. What happened after that? We find out in chapter 4 that he went north and he went to Galilee. And then while he was there, he healed the son of a royal official. And what happened after that? Then he made the 100-mile trip from Galilee down to Jerusalem, and that's where we find him now in chapter 5. So going on, it says, "Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool, which in Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porticos." I know the map there is small, but if you could only see it better, the blue arrow is pointing to the pool of Bethesda, and then the red arrow is pointing to the sheep gate. So both of those are just north of the temple complex. A little bit more about the sheep gate. That is probably the place, probably the gate, where the sheep were brought in to the temple complex in order to be sacrificed, thus the name, the sheep gate. As we think about the pool of Bethesda, it says in the text here that there were porticos, or there were porches. So what does that mean? Here's a quote from Dr. Kretzmann. He wrote, "The Jews had built five colonnades or porticos or porches around this pool of water to shelter the sick people from wind and rain." What could we say here about this area? It was kind of like the Jerusalem hospital. So when people were sick, they were either staying at home and family members were caring for them, but maybe in some cases they had no family. So what did they do? Where did they go? Well, they go and hang out by the pool there at Bethesda, hoping that somehow they might get better by the grace of God. So it's a pretty sad and tough and difficult situation. Notice in the text here, it says, "In these porticos lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, limping, or paralyzed." When we think about a hospital, we have different floors of the hospital where they're dealing with different ailments. So if you think about all the people there by the pool, each one of them was probably in one of these four categories. That's why the Bible gives us those particular categories. Now we might ask, back then, why all the suffering and difficulty? But we could say today too. Certainly we know people. We have a number of people on our prayer list and a number of people in some serious situations that I'll mention a little bit later. We might say, why all the sickness? Why all the suffering? Well, we have to jump back to Adam and Eve. And God made it clear to Adam that on the day that you eat from that tree, you will surely die. And what happened? Him and Eve, they ate, so they fell into sin. They brought death to themselves. That death passed on to all other people, and that death even passed on, the sin and death passed on to the entire world. The entire creation was pulled down, so now we're living in a situation where there is sin and suffering and death. Now, we're in this for a temporary time. Let's not despair. Through Jesus Christ, the way to perfection has been made, and through him, we can get out of this messed up world and be with God forever. Well, you can see here we're in verse 3, and then we jump to verse 5. So we might say, what happened to verse 4? Well, verse 4, if you look in your Bible carefully, you'll probably find it as a footnote down at the bottom of the page, and that's because verse 4 did not appear in the early manuscripts, so we don't believe it's the inspired word of God. We believe it was added in later, so we kind of ignore it, and you'll see when we come to this topic that's actually contained in verse 4. It does mention a little bit about it over in verse 7. Basically, 4 and 7 connect together. But you'll see, though, that Jesus kind of ignores that whole topic when we come to it. We'll do that here in a moment. Here in verse 5, "Now a man was there who had been ill for 38 years. So regarding the man, we don't know for certain, but it's very possible that that man had been ill longer than anyone else there at the pool of Bethesda, and it's also possible that he was more ill than any other person who was there. Oftentimes God works that way in the Bible. God picks out the case that is the most difficult, and then God fixes everything. But what is that saying, though? God is saying, hey, I can fix the most difficult one. So all of you who have something less, you should know I can help you too. That's the way to think about it here. And then as we think about him being 38 years old, boy, that's a very long time to be ill. Now, we should expect illness in this fallen world. It's not pleasant to be ill, but it happens from time to time. God wants us to know it's not unexpected, but at the same time, God is with us. God will help us. He wants us to call out to him and understand that God will help us according to his way and according to his time. Like when I'm sick, I want to be better, like, hey, right now, God. But it doesn't work like that. We go to God, we put it in his hands, and we ask God to help us accept whatever he permits in into our lives. I wanted to mention here just briefly on the topic of life expectancy. I was looking this up on the computer, so a little bit of AI here. But it says in Jerusalem, during Jesus' time, a man's life expectancy was around 30 to 35 years. Now, you have to keep in mind, we're talking about the average. Some of the reasons why the average was so low is that many of the children ended up dying, and then many of the men went off to war, and they died in war. So that pulled the number down. It reminds me when I went to Burkina Faso in West Africa back in 2008, and before I went, I looked up a little bit about the country and found out that they made 15 cents an hour working. I also found out that the average life expectancy was only 49 years old, but a big part of that is because half of the children before they reached the age of 6 died. It's one of the poorest countries in the world, and it's a very difficult place to live. But you know what was true of those people? They were so open to the things of God. They so much wanted to know there is a God. They wanted to know there is a heaven, and they wanted to know how to get there. Sometimes as Americans, we're like, oh, we're so blessed here. We kind of have heaven on earth, and we're not interested about Jesus. We got everything right here. Well, having a lot of blessings here can be wonderful, but that can also pull us away from Jesus. We have to be so careful of that. Well, going on to the conversation here, picking up in verse 6, it says, Jesus, upon seeing this man lying there and knowing that he had already been in that condition for a long time, said to him, do you want to get well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. So that's the passage I was talking about relating back to verse 4. So that's the one we left out that has a little bit more detail about that. But you'll see in the verse after this that Jesus, he doesn't pay attention to that at all. Yeah, with the water stirred up, Jesus ignored the topic. So maybe from time to time the water bubbled a little bit or something, and maybe some of the people thought they were made well by that water, but we're not looking at it in any kind of a superstitious way. We don't believe that God was giving some kind of healing through that water. God wants us to put our focus on him, not on something like the water. And even if we go to a doctor, do we trust in our doctors? No, we trust in the Almighty God who blessed us with a good doctor. Jesus knew. So being the Son of God, he knew everything about this man. He had never met him before, but yet he knew everything about him. What is true right now? Hey, Jesus knows everything about you and me. Oh, boy, that can be a little bit unsettling, but at the same time, though, because he knows, he can help us with everything. So it's a blessing that he knows. What about the man? Think about him. He wanted to be well, but after 38 years, can you imagine him trying every possible solution? Like maybe he went to the various doctors. Maybe he tried to throw himself into the pool when it bubbled. Just anything and everything he did, and after 38 years, Finally, he came to the conclusion, I am helpless to be able to help myself. That is an important place for all people to come. We could say for all people to come physically, and especially the place for all people to come spiritually. And then thinking about those two topics here for a moment, and thinking about what we have in our service folder, we have many requests. Weekly, we have many requests, but almost all of our requests are dealing with physical health and not with spiritual health. In a sense, we're saying, these things are important, so I'm going to ask Pastor to pray about them. But let's certainly know that physical health is nice. Hey, when we're feeling good, that's great. But spiritual health is so, so much more important. Let us not lose sight of that. If people get sick and die, that is sad. If people get sick and die without Jesus, there is no greater tragedy than getting sick and dying without Jesus. So many people are doing that every single minute, every single day. So many in a single year are leaving this life without Jesus. So let's always keep him as our priority. And then in the final part of the reading here, Jesus said to the man, get up, pick up your pallet and walk. Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Now it was a Sabbath on that day, on the day he did the healing. So thinking about this here, so immediately, it's very possible now that this man has never walked in his life. We don't know, but that's possible, never walked in his life. Think about when an infant begins to walk. So the infant now is pulling himself up at the couch and just standing there. And then maybe after some days or weeks, now the infant is willing to take one step, but then the infant goes down. It takes quite a while before that infant can walk, and then a little bit longer and the infant is running. Well, God wants us to understand that when God does something, when Jesus worked the healing, it was immediate. So even if the man had never walked before, what did Jesus do? He blessed him not only with the strength to walk, but with the ability to walk. And then thinking on the topic of miracles here for a minute, they are so spectacular. Like, I'd love to see a miracle, or I'd love to have somebody on our prayer list that has terminal cancer, and then we pray for the person, and then the person goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, I can't find any cancer. This person is cancer-free. Wouldn't that be amazing? However, though, miracles do not save. So they are amazing, but they do not save. So we shouldn't be praying for miracles, but rather a miracle is connected to a temporal thing, but rather we should be thinking about spiritual, eternal things. If we have a friend or a family member who is not spiritually alive, should we pray for a miracle? No, rather we should get the person into doing some reading in the Bible and thinking then about what they read and what happens then. The Spirit of God will work through the Word of God and speak to the person's heart, and over time, the Spirit of God can give that person saving faith. Now, in a way, that's a miracle, but we're not talking about a physical miracle. We're talking about something far greater, and God taking a person who is dead in his sins and hell-bound and making him alive in Christ and heaven-bound. Maybe that's the greatest miracle. So God wants to do that in everyone's life. And then thinking about the Sabbath day here. So Jesus did what he did on a Sabbath day, and that stirred up controversy, and I think Jesus probably did that on purpose. He wanted to get people thinking. When we think about the Sabbath in the Old Testament, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What was the idea? The idea is that no one would be working for their personal gain. So it's okay to do work, If someone is in need, you don't say, oh, I can't help you, it's a Sabbath day. No, if someone is in need, you help that person on the Sabbath day. But the idea is you're not going to be working for your own personal gain. You're going to set aside that work. You're going to be thankful for what you have, and you're going to put your focus on the Almighty God. That was the idea. What happened when we come to the time of Jesus? Now we have the Jewish leaders, and they've taken what's in the Old Testament, they've added a bunch of additional laws on top of that, and basically they were teaching the people that in order to be saved, you have to keep all these different laws. It was completely the opposite of what Jesus wanted them to understand. He wanted them to understand rightly what the Sabbath day was supposed to be, and he wanted them not to trust in their keeping of the law, but rather to trust in him, in who he is, and what he did to take away the sin of the world. So what is best then? Well, it's best to trust in Jesus alone for heaven. And when we have the gift of heaven, then the Spirit of God will move us to want to know more what's in the Bible and then to put that into practice in our lives. May God move us to do that more and more, and may he move our nation in that way too. That would be not only a blessing for our nation, but a blessing for all of our citizens. And that would enable us as a nation to become a greater blessing to the entire world. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we think about Memorial Day, we give you thanks for all the soldiers who made the ultimate sacrifice. Some of them chose to do so, others they did not choose it, but yet they were willing. We give you thanks. We especially thank you for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to put on flesh and do everything for our salvation and to make the greatest ultimate sacrifice in order to open the way from us to you. Help us to always put Jesus first, and as we have opportunity, help us to point others to him. In his name we pray. Amen.